I'm Pastor Joel. As we all continue to figure out how to navigate these uncharted waters during the COVID-19 pandemic, the members of Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earl continue to practice social distancing, and we limit our gathering for our safety and our community's safety. While we continue to worship together on Zoom, we also broadcast our message here on Muskie 101 every Sunday at 10:30 in the morning, so those without computers or high-speed internet can join us. Today's scripture reading comes from 2 Acts 1 through 24. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from the heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Today is Pentecost, the birthday of the Christian church, if you will. It's a Sunday often celebrated in the church with the color of red worn by those who attend and all over the sanctuary. It's typically a time of celebration. And this is a strange time in our lives, however. COVID-19 has forced us to look at things differently, to do things differently, and to remember that the church is not a building. It's been an exhausting spring on so many levels. But we have finally arrived at Pentecost. And the timing of Pentecost and the scripture reading you just heard is perhaps perfect this week. It comes the week following the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis at the hands and a knee of 4 officers of the Minneapolis PD who were fired, and as of the moment of this recording, of this sermon, have not been arrested or detained. If by hearing this current event brought up has you wanting to turn the dial or tune out, I ask you to at least hear me out for a minute as I set the scene with Pentecost being today. The scripture reading from Acts 2 describes the harvest of Pentecost, a typical celebration of the day occurring, and it uses the imagery of wind and fire entering. That grabs our attention to this day, as it certainly grabbed their attention. Remember the many nations and languages represented in this festival. They are listed in the scripture not to make scripture readers of today sweat and nervous for reading them aloud, but to show us there was a diverse crowd. And as they spoke words of the greatness of God in their own native tongues, they heard the other languages, yet were still able to understand what was being said. Friends, we've talked a lot about how as people we are divided so much on so many things, including public health. But this week, events in Minneapolis have again shown us that we are divided by more than a cloth mask. We are divided by hatred, privilege, and public safety. And these things we are divided by have caused us to become deaf to what others are feeling and saying. Personally, I don't have the time nor the energy to put into writing a sing-song kumbaya sermon. But I am making the time to write something that says something and hopefully speaks to you. This is too important. This Pentecost, we are faced with the imagery of fire and the imagery of wind. Minneapolis is on fire, and the wind is the wind of the final breath of George Floyd, as we've witnessed all week. A man gasping and pleading for air to breathe. For many of us, perhaps we've turned the dial, turned the TV channel, or muted it, or looked away as the disturbing images were shown to us over and over and over. It's too painful to watch. Perhaps we're disgusted that the TV networks show it to us over and over and over. But my hope is that the disgust is actually in the fact that another innocent life was lost to someone who thought they had power. Whatever our feelings are, whatever our feelings on this are, there are many voices, many perspectives, many thoughts and feelings being shared, pled, being mourned and cried, sobbed and shouted. And more often than not, we don't listen or hear. We turn the channel to something else. We ignore the unknown or uncomfortable, and we relax in what we think we know. But on this day in particular, may we celebrate Pentecost by listening to everyone in their context, their language, and understand. There is rage that has been building in this country for hundreds of years. Have we made improvements in that time? Sure. Are we good yet? Clearly, we are not. In the UCC, the United Church of Christ, our tagline is, "A just world for all." And I emphasize the all part because apparently we need reminding about all. I am angry. I am angry that we are still dealing with systemic racism in this country. It's 2020, for goodness sakes. 2020 has brought us a lot of trouble. Whether COVID-19, economic collapses, murder hornets, and more senseless murders by people in power or people who think they have power due to the color of the victim's skin. I am angry that there are people that are more enraged by the protesting that is happening than the public murder of George Floyd. I get angry when white people say, well, that's not an effective way to further their cause. To that I say, their cause? It's 2020, and these are human beings' lives we are talking about. Their cause? Their cause is our cause. We as human beings are to be in this thing we call life together. When one person cannot breathe, we all cannot breathe. This is our cause. And secondly, over 50 years of peaceful protests, of lobbying the lawmakers to create protections for all people, countless meetings and peaceful protests to lobby police departments to make sure they have policies in place to weed out the bad officers when they're found. And to what avail? Nothing has changed. What recourse does humanity have, and where is it to turn when decades and decades of work has not brought about change? I find myself grateful today, though, when I hear and read The good police officers talk about how this incident has made them sick to their core. There are hundreds of thousands of great human beings in law enforcement. There are millions of good human beings in this nation. And so how is it that the good officers, along with all of the good citizens, have not been able to overpower the evil that does exist? I think it's because we all come from different perspectives, speak different languages, have different cultures and the like, and we don't take the time to actually listen to what is being said. We just don't. We find the corner that we're in and we hunker down. And today, we are reminded that with all of those differences, by listening through the Holy Spirit, by allowing it to work in us in mysterious ways, we can hear one another and celebrate the good power of God to one day be able to breathe together again. Acts 2 said, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability." Today is the day of Pentecost, and we are in one virtual place right now. This week there has been a rush of a violent wind which has filled our houses. Divided tongues as of fire has appeared to us in the destruction of life, of property, of humanity. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, we can hear these other pained languages and we can understand. And understanding will force us into action, and action is what's needed. This week, I wanted to include another voice in the message, as I felt it fitting as we talk about other languages and hearing each other. And I read a blog written by an old seminary professor of mine, and it was powerful. It was powerful largely because, as I read it, I could hear her voice. And she is Black, and that's a voice that we don't hear much of in this part of the area of the state where we live. And I think it's time. I ask you at this time to invite the Holy Spirit to help you listen, to hear her speak her words and feelings, and recognize that this is a real human being experiencing and communicating very real things. I ask you to see if you can understand.
There are white people upset at the threat of being cited by police for going outside without a mask. Black people are mourning and angry because another Black man has been killed outside in broad daylight by the police. They're white people about their freedom to be outside and to have free speech. Black people are still wondering where in this country can we truly be free. I just don't understand this. I see it happening over and over again, but it just makes no sense to me. Racism has never made sense to me. The despicable behavior of racists is beyond my capacity to fully understand. I can call it, I can define it, but I can never totally understand it, can never make it make sense. In fact, I fear that in my attempt to understand it, to satiate my questions about it, that I will be plunged into the same dark abyss of evil from which it emanates. So it has remained throughout my life something that I know when I see, and upon seeing it, abhor with a passion. What human being with any sense of decency uses their authority to crush the air passages of another human being while watching them struggle to get free enough to breathe? How do you position your knee on another human being's neck, refusing to move, and listen to them gasp for air while crying out, "I cannot breathe"? What motivates those with you to stand by, watch and witness you commit murder without intervention? There is no acceptable reason that George Floyd and so many others should be dead. I can't list their names to them. Already weeping as I write. Emotionally, I can't yet again call their many names. Tired of this massacre on repeat. Tired of having whatever peace I enjoy on one day be troubled the next. Yesterday I felt calm. Today all I have are tears of angst. Between the two, I cherish my anger most of all. My anger gives me beautiful words to describe the murderers. I cherish every profanity-laced phrase floating through my mind right now. My anger transports me to an imagined uprising where black and brown people take control of the political engines of this country. My anger moves me to yell at the television and every device displaying the killer's image. I need my anger right now because it keeps me from going insane. It is a passion that swells up inside me at the injustice so frequently on display in America. Anger won't let me be impassive. It rocks my heated mind and ushers me into that familiar pathway called protest in whatever form that takes. I no longer yield my heart to hoping that murderers like these will be brought to justice. They may not. I just don't linger in that kind of hope. To what end? I've seen this too many times before. Should it be resolved, another black man, another black woman will once again be murdered in similar style. Some argue that the solution is in changing policing in America. Others say the answer is in prison abolition. Still others resort to religious responses. There may be some grain of truth in all of this. Right now, I'd rather hold on to my anger than limp toward the ever-moving goalposts of hope. At the very least, anger keeps me alert to the quotidian mores of white supremacist culture. It seems to me that black people are safer embracing anger than allowing ourselves to be pacified by the current systems responsible for delivering.
That last line, where she says, "It seems to me that black people are safer embracing anger than allowing ourselves to be pacified by the current systems responsible for delivering justice," is the saddest commentary on our society in the year 2020. As I read it the first time, and as I hear her speak it again now, it bothers me to the core. It shakes me because it's what she said, because it's exactly how she feels. It's exactly how millions of our fellow human beings feel. We've caused this. Our silence, our turning away, our turning the channel, our ambivalence only furthers the cause of pain and destruction and is part of the problem. It's time we listen and hear what is being said, whether it's painful for us to listen to or guilts us. Our silence and ambivalence at this point in the game is no different than the knee that took George Floyd's final breath. May the fire and wind of this Pentecost find you well, help you to hear and listen, and through that, help you heal. Help you heal your heart, others' hearts, and create a just world for all. From the members of the Namekagon UCC and Earl, may you have a safe and blessed week. Tune in next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another message. When we begin to meet in person for worship again, I hope you'll consider visiting the United Church of Christ, a just world for all.